Paul speaks to the people here and gives the testimony of his conversion, which was a significant and wonderful conversion in the book of Acts and in the history of the Christian church. We pick up here just a few verses in the middle of the account. I trust you know the account for yourselves. If you do not, I encourage you to read it. But beginning in verse 12, this is the word of God. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Well, the last time we had a baptism in this congregation, which was back in November, I said at that point, you may remember, that there was much more to be said about the doctrine of baptism than could be summed up really in one sermon. That's why it's always helpful to take these opportunities of baptism and likewise the Lord's Supper to preach on the sacraments, and this sacrament in particular, that we might better understand it, that we might better benefit from it in our daily walk, and of course enjoy and benefit from it in its administration. And so back at that time in November, I said that there were three principal parts to the doctrine of baptism: guilt, grace, and gratitude. It was then that I preached on Psalm 51, verses 1 to 6, and I addressed the first part by showing that baptism is a confession of our guilt. When we present ourselves or our children for baptism, we come to the font with the words unclean on our lips, like a leper would. We come to the waters of baptism because we know ourselves to be defiled by sin. We know ourselves to be in need of the cleansing that only God can give, the very God who appointed baptism as a sacrament in his church. And as we said already in the service, even though our children, small children, are too young to have committed any actual sin, we believe what the Bible teaches so clearly in Job 14, Romans 3, Romans 5, and Ephesians 2, that our children are guilty in Adam, and therefore they are justly subject to the wrath of God. And so as we present our children for baptism, we are confessing as parents, we are confessing and acknowledging their natural guilt as sinners and their need to be born again by the grace of God. We are confessing that they can't go into heaven as they are if they remain before the Lord, sons and daughters of Adam. And at the same time, by bringing our children to baptism and baptizing them in their youth, we are directing our very children by their baptism to look for all their salvation and to look for all their hope outside of themselves to the triune God into whose names they were baptized. We are telling them that what they need cannot be found in themselves, but must be looked for from the hands of the triune God when we submit them for baptism. Well, this morning I want to speak with you about the second principal message in baptism, that is grace. Out of guilt, grace, and gratitude, we turn now to grace. In the first part of baptism, we're taught to look at ourselves. We're taught to consider who it is that comes to the font of baptism. And when we look at ourselves, what are we confronted with? We're confronted with our misery. We're confronted with our corruption, our pollution, our guilt, and defilement as sinners. But now in the second part of baptism, we're taught to look to God and to consider who it is that meets us in this sacrament and who it is into whose name we are to be baptized. And when we do, we are introduced to the Father who loves us, to the Son who washes us clean, and to the Holy Spirit who actually washes us clean and brings to our hearts the peace and the assurance of our cleansing. So that if baptism preaches to us of our natural guilt, by signifying that we need to be cleansed, hence the water of baptism, it also preaches to us of the grace of God by signifying and sealing the washing away of all of our sins by the blood of Christ. So let me begin by talking about the sacraments in general, which is why we had those four confession questions and answers earlier in the service, because I want to talk about the sacraments in general, first of all. When we talk about the Christian sacraments, we're only speaking about the Lord's Supper and baptism, we can't help but hearing a lot about signs and seals, about signifying and sealing. And that's because it's a fundamental purpose, as we confessed earlier, it's a fundamental purpose of the sacraments to signify and seal God's promises to us. As signs, the sacraments point us away from themselves to the promises of God concerning our union and communion with Christ, which is to say, they direct our faith to the divine promises which they signify. The water doesn't say, look at me. The water says, look away from me, through me, to Jesus. And as seals, they act as assurances by attesting to us that by faith, God has made good on His word to us. God has not lied to us. So that they seal and they confirm to us that we are, by faith, participants in the saving work of Christ to which they point us. Saying to us who believe, saying to us as Christ's church, not only is this the case, but by God's grace, this is the case for you. This is the case to you. Which means as a sacrament, it has two essential characteristics or elements. And again, we confess this already. It's a sign of Christ's work in which we are to place our trust. And it's a seal confirming that by the grace of God, through our faith in Christ, we have a share in who He is and in what He has done. Now, of course, given the infallible and holy character of God, who is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent, every promise of God's word is 100% reliable, and it doesn't need to be authenticated or backed or strengthened by a seal. But the Lord knows how weak and small our faith is, and therefore God gave us the sacraments as seals to His word. His word is more than sufficient and more than trustworthy. But He knows how slow we are to believe what His word says and how hesitant we are to apply those great, huge promises to little old us. And so the sacraments are given to the church as visible sermons to confirm the word that we've heard with our ears, which is why one Puritan said, in the Lord's Supper, we don't get a better Christ than we get in the preached word, but sometimes we get Christ better. Because as visible seals, the sacraments act as a great encouragement to our weak and halting faith to ensure us by sensible signs that Christ is indeed ours and we are indeed His. If the sermon says, hear what the Lord your God says to you, the sacraments say, see what the Lord your God says to you. And that's why the sacraments lose their meaning if they're separated from the Word of God. Without the Word of God, without the gospel of Christ to point us to, the supper is a morsel and a sip that cannot nourish the soul. And baptism is a few drops of water that cannot cleanse from sin. Their meaning and their efficacy are inseparably related to the Word of God which they signify and seal, to the Son of God who blesses His people through them, and to the Spirit of God in whose hands they become effectual means of salvation and sanctification. And so as we think about baptism this morning, what we need to understand is that baptism is not a vain symbol, nor is it a useless formality of Christianity. It's a sacrament instituted by Christ Himself as a sign and seal of His gracious and saving work in the lives of His people. And while it signifies and seals several things, as we confessed in our question and answer, this morning I want to highlight just one thing, and that is that it signifies and seals God's forgiveness of all our sins. Now it's clear from our text that baptism points to a washing. In Acts 22:16, Ananias says to Paul, rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on Christ's name. And it's also clear from Scripture why we need to be washed and what it is that needs to be washed away. We need to be washed because we're sinners. That's what we looked at last time. And it's our sins that need to be washed away. They're the problem. They are the hindrance. They are indeed that which stands between our relationship with God. In Psalm 51, verse 2, David cries the cry of every sinner who comes to God for washing when he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And it's also clear from Scripture that the only thing that can cleanse us is the blood of Christ, shed in atonement on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In Revelation 1 5, He says He loves us and He freed us from our sins by His blood. And all because, as 1 John 1 7 says so clearly, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so there's no place to think or to claim that baptism itself is the washing away of our sins. Because on the one hand, nothing can cleanse us but the blood of Christ. And on the other, because baptism is a sacrament. It's not magical. It doesn't hold power in and of itself, but as a sacrament. And it's the nature of a sacrament to be a visible sign pointing us to and sealing to us the invisible thing which it signifies. And since it signifies and seals the washing away of our sins, then it is pointing us to and assuring us of the promise of God that through faith in Christ, our sins are washed away by His blood shed on Calvary. In baptism, the gospel of God's forgiveness in Christ is made visible to all who look upon it in faith by saying to them, just as water washes away the impurity of the body, so the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away the impurity of your soul. And now this raises an important point regarding the nature of the church's sacraments. And it is this. The sacraments are not a message from us to God. Instead, they are a message from God to us. They're not something we're doing for God, or even for ourselves, or for the church, but rather something that God is doing for us. Because we are not the actors in the sacraments. God is. In the sacraments, we are the recipients. And so as we think about baptism, baptism doesn't point to our faith. It points to God's promise. It's not a sign and seal of my faith in God. It's a sign and a seal of God's promise to me. A promise in which He would have me place my faith. In other words, baptism is not a wet profession of my faith in Jesus. Instead, it's a sign and a seal of God's promise to me. A sign and a seal to me that faith placed in Jesus Christ is not ill-placed. That faith placed in the name of the triune God is not ill-placed. Because just as the water cleanses my body, so the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And this, beloved, is why God would have us baptize our small children. Because rather than being a sign and a seal of their faith, it's a sign and a seal of His covenant promise to believers and their offspring. Faith isn't required in our children in order for them to be baptized any more than it was required in Abraham's children for them to be circumcised. Because like circumcision, baptism points not to something the child is saying or doing at that moment, but to something God is doing, something God is saying at that moment as the covenant-making, promise-keeping God of believers and their children. In their baptism, God is saying to our children, I am your God. And I have provided for your salvation in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now follow me. Baptism begins not with us, but with God, just as the Lord's Supper does. And this makes sense when we remember that the church did not create or institute the sacraments. Christ did. They're His ordinances, not ours. They're instituted by Him, not by us. They're to be a sign and a seal of what He has done for us. They're a sign and a seal of His promises to us and of His gracious intervention, His gracious incorporation of us into His person and work. And this means our baptism isn't a sign of our strong faith in Christ. It's a sign of what Christ has done to support our weak faith. And likewise, we don't come to the Lord's table as we do in this church monthly. We don't come to the Lord's table because our faith in Christ is strong. And therefore we have a right to come. We don't come to the Lord's Supper because our assurance of forgiveness is unshakable, and therefore we have a right to come. We don't come to the Lord's Supper because our Christian walk is blameless, and therefore we have a right to come. Rather, we come to the Lord's table because our faith is weak and needs strengthening. We come to the Lord's table because our assurance is troubled by doubts and needs bolstering. We come to the Lord's table because our conscience is grieved by our continual sins and our conscience needs cleansing again. We come to the Lord's table as sinners, just like we come to the font of baptism as sinners, just like we come each Lord's Day into God's house as sinners. No one comes here because he has it all together. No one comes here because he has a right to be here in himself. We all have a right to be here because God said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. We all have a right to be here because the gospel is to be preached to every creature around the world. We all have a right to be here because Jesus died for sinners. That's our right. We're sinners. We're dirty. We're guilty. The sacraments don't say to those around us, look at me. The sacraments say to us, look to God. And so this is what we've learned then, as we think about guilt and now grace. Christ appointed the waters of baptism to testify to us that we are guilty of sin and we need cleansing. And he uses the waters of baptism to signify the efficacy of his cleansing blood and to testify to us that no sinner can be so impure or too guilty or too filthy for the blood of Christ to cleanse him from sin. That the vilest may come and wash and be clean. The greatest of offenders may come and be cleaned. All may come to Christ. Indeed, all must, because there is salvation in no other. So let me encourage you today to draw these comforts from your baptism and from the gospel that it preaches to you by looking in faith to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which your baptism signifies and seals unto you. Whatever sins you have committed, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. However vile and defiled your sin has made you, his blood has washed you white as snow and made you like wool. If your conscience convicts you and accuses you of sin, look to your baptism and see that the blood of Christ speaks peace to you. If you're troubled by doubt and you question whether you're reconciled to God or not, look to your baptism and see that God not only provided a way for you to be reconciled, but God has given you this sign as an answer to all your questions and as a counter to all your doubts. And if you're troubled by fear today, then look at your baptism and buy it unto the Savior in whose gospel you have believed. And hear God say to you in your baptism, be of good cheer, my child. Your sins are forgiven. For just as this sacrament points you to my promise of forgiveness in my Son for all who believe, so it seals to you that as you have believed, so I have forgiven. If the preaching of God's word has worked faith, saving faith in your heart, then let the sacrament of baptism strengthen your faith today. Because God cannot say to you any more clearly to you than he does in your baptism, even if he spoke audibly from heaven today, God cannot speak to you any more clearly than he does in your baptism, that there is forgiveness and there is purification in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Amen. Let's pray together. O God of our baptism, we come to you this morning grateful for the outpouring of your love and your grace today. Grateful, O God, for the signs and the seals of your covenant mercies and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grateful that you have not left us to wander, to worry, but, O Lord, you have given us the signs and the seals of the sacraments to assure us, to bolster our weak faith, to counter all our doubts and fears, and to answer our questions. That if we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord, those things which baptism and the sacraments seal and signify are ours by faith. We thank you, O God, that you have given us your Son, and in him is all that we need, and we thank you for his saving gospel, that there is a place for sinners like us, at the throne of grace and in the kingdom of heaven. Continue, O Lord, to assure us today of forgiveness. Continue to wash and cleanse our hearts and minds of all defiling sin. And grant us, O Lord, all that we need to be a people of joy. And may we live this day, this week, in light of our baptism, in light of the sacraments as signs and seals of your covenant mercy and grace, that we might be a joyful and thankful people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.